Hello and welcome to another short message from myself, John Ferguson, the minister at Peter Cooter Church. Today I'd like to begin with the reading where Peter confesses his belief in Jesus in Matthew's Gospel at chapter 16. At verse 13 we read, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' 'But what about you?' he asked. 'Who do you say I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus replied, 'Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.' Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ." So Jesus tells Peter that he will build his church on him, on Peter the rock, and that he'd give him the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And while some people have questioned the accuracy of this particular incident, what's fascinating about it is that Jesus was prepared to build the church on someone who was far from perfect. Because we all know that Peter was the one who would let Jesus down, the one who would deny his master. He was, like all of us, flawed. It's a reminder that Jesus called ordinary people to follow him, and that the church is full of sinners today, that we are all sinners, but we are forgiven sinners. In the first letter of Corinthians, Paul talks about jealousy and quarrelling among the Christians in Corinth. Some are choosing to follow Paul while others go with Apollos. They've only been in existence for a few years, and yet, human nature being what it is, they're already falling out and there's factions developing, there's signs of jealousy and disputes. Paul maybe contributed to this jealousy and distrust among some of the disciples because he appears on the scene, very successful in his ministry, but also one who had formerly persecuted the Christian church. And so he was greeted with some suspicion and distrust by the original apostles. He fell out over certain issues with the other apostles, including Peter, especially over the issue of accepting non-Jews into the church. So you could say that the church began as a flawed institution. And we know when we look at history, a history of schisms and factions and infighting, the Crusades, religious warfare, that the church has always been a flawed institution. And it's still an institution that has many deep flaws today. Some argue that in many respects, it's institutionally racist. Others despair about the attitude by some in the church towards homosexuals. So it might lead to the question, why on earth would you want to be part of such an institution? An obvious answer is that despite its many failings, the church still does a great deal of good in the world today. And I do believe that the good things that the church does outweighs its many flaws. I could spend a long time talking about its charitable work and counselling and all of its ministries and pastoral care. It's a long list. But there's another reason. It's the fact that the church is not just like any other institution. The church is not the same thing as the kingdom of God. Although many people today often refer to the kingdom as if it's just another word for the church. But rather we should see the church as simply being the means by which the kingdom of God is advanced. And while the church may be flawed, the kingship or the kingdom of God is not, because it only exists when people who believe in God demonstrate the values of that kingdom within their hearts and live out these values in their everyday lives. The kingship of God is more than simply something that provides a moral framework for everyday living, important and wonderful as that may be, especially in a society like ours, which seems to be growing in its inability to distinguish between right and wrong. And in so many ways, the COVID-19 pandemic has demonstrated some of the worst aspects about human nature. But then many people follow ethical and moral frameworks who are not Christians. If Christianity was simply a set of moral beliefs, then it would never have survived the past 2,000 years. The church is flawed and it's often failed. But the church is more than just a set of moral examples and moral instructions. It is the means of advancing God's kingdom on earth. And that makes all the difference in the world. Because the kingdom of God in so many ways is not of this world. And so I hope and pray that the church might continue in its own flawed way to advance the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for your kingdom here on earth. We give you thanks that the church is here to advance the kingdom that Jesus proclaimed. We give you thanks for the values of your kingdom and for all the ways in which the kingdom flourishes when we seek to put into practice these values. Lord, we pray for your church. We pray for the church when we know at times it does fail. We know at times we get things wrong. Lord, we are sorry. We are sorry if we are part of an institution that gets things badly wrong. But Lord, we also give thanks for all the wonderful things that the church does. We thank you for those who live out the faith, for those who engage in ministries that change people's lives. We thank you for the church giving people hope. We thank you for the times when the church is deeply involved in communities up and down the land, doing good work. Heavenly Father, hear us now as we pray for all those in need, and especially we pray for those who are suffering just now through the loss of loved ones. Sustain all those who are bereaved. We pray for those sick and in pain, and we pray for those, Lord, who are experiencing the effects of COVID-19, those who have the virus, those living in fear of catching it, those who've had it but it's left them with long-term effects, and for those for whom the changes in society have meant the loss of a job or situations where their lives have been turned upside down, Lord, hear our prayer. Loving God, we give you thanks that you are a God of love, and we pray for your continuing blessing to be upon us and with all those whom we love, this day and forevermore. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and all those whom you love, this day and forevermore. Amen. Thanks once again for listening, and bye for now.